Thank you, and I too welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. As I usually do, I recommend that you get your Bible down, or a pencil on a piece of paper, or both, and check out the scriptures. Write them down and check them out for yourself. Turn with me this morning, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and Titus chapter 2. Now, I've been talking about basically, our conversation has to do with being saved in this age. It has to do with the gospel that is preached in this age, the gospel that Paul preached. And I've been trying to show you, referring to the chart up on the board up here, I've been trying to show you that the gospel that was preached back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts 2 through 4, 5, and so forth, is different from that was committed to the Apostle Paul. And so my way of doing that had to do with going to Matthew chapter 16 and trying to show you that the church back here that Jesus Christ told Peter about in Matthew 16. The conversation had to do with who am I? And so Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Well, flesh and blood hadn't revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," well, the rock there is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "upon this rock, upon your testimony that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this truth I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound," and on and on and on. Well, he told them then, told Peter then, that "I'm going up to Jerusalem, and they're going to crucify and kill me, but after 3 days I'm going to be raised from the dead." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." So I've been trying to show you that in the gospel of the kingdom preached by the 12 back there, preached by John the Baptist, preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, and preached by the 12, there was no knowledge of Christ dying for anybody's sins. In Matthew 16, when Jesus Christ said, "I'm going up to Jerusalem, they're going to crucify and kill me," Peter said, "Not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And yet Peter had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, so therefore, if you believe the Bible, you know that the gospel of the kingdom then that's preached back there did not include the fact that Christ was dying for anybody's sins. Well, in Acts chapter 2, obviously Peter knew that Jesus had died. But you know something? He didn't even believe, he didn't recognize the fact that Christ was going to be raised from the dead until he's told that Jesus Christ is not in the tomb anymore. And when he found that out, he and John ran to the tomb and looked in and saw the grave clothes lie there. And it wasn't until then that they knew that Christ would rise from the dead. My point is, the gospel of the kingdom did not tell anybody that Christ was dying for your sins. They didn't even realize he was going to rise. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the resurrection of Christ. He preached, "You crucified him. You rejected the Messiah. You asked that a murderer be granted unto you," referring to the man whose cross Jesus took and went to Calvary, Barabbas. You allowed him to be set free and crucified the Son of God. "But God hath raised him up, and he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." So Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection in Acts chapter 2, 3, and so forth, but he still didn't know that Jesus Christ died for his sins. There is no preaching that Christ died for your sins in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. I'd like to challenge you to get a Strong's Concordance down and check in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how many times you can find that God loved a sinner. Look it up. Look up the word love. See how many times there is any reference back there to the love of God toward sinful people. It isn't even discussed. So I'm trying to show you that the gospel of the grace of God, the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again for your justification, is not back there. That good news was committed to the Apostle Paul. Now, we've talked about the fact that that church back there was strictly Jewish. In Matthew 10, Jesus Christ sent the apostles forth and he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That church was strictly Jewish. In Matthew chapter 15, a Gentile woman came to the Lord seeking that he would heal her daughter, and he answered her not a word. And finally he told her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Paul said that Jesus Christ, talking about back there in that ministry, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So I know then that that church back there is strictly Jewish. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching to the people there said, you men of Judea, you men of Israel, he said, let all Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. He's not talking to Gentiles there. He's talking to Israelites who had rejected the Messiah. He's talking to Israelites who had condemned the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and demanded his death. Now they're saying, what must we do? And he said, repent. That is, turn around, change your mind, take a different position. Believe that he is the Messiah. Believe that he's the Son of God based upon the fact that God has raised him from the dead. And be identified with him in water baptism. So, in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth, there still is no preaching of the good news that Christ died for your sins. All of the Bible is written for our admonition and learning, but Paul's epistles is written unto us, and the doctrine to the church, which is the body of Christ, pertaining to sin, salvation from sin, eternal security, and so forth, is found in Romans through Philemon. So people refuse to rightly divide the word of truth. People start messing around with the doctrine back there in the book of Acts, or over there in Hebrews through Revelation, or back there in Matthew and so forth, and they get all crossed up and out of shape, and they never see the fact that God Almighty selected some people out of this world, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, redeemed us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved us by his grace, and is going to catch us out, changing our vile bodies and make us like unto his glorious body. And all that different from the Hebrews in their having to endure to the end to be saved. Now, strictly Jewish assembly back there. That Jewish assembly back there believed the gospel of the kingdom. They believed the good news of the kingdom, that God was going to set up a kingdom where Israel would reign over the Gentiles. Then they, the believers back there, were told that they must be faithful unto death. In other words, Jesus Christ, having died at Calvary, descended into the lower parts of the earth. Jesus Christ left his body there and went down, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. What is it but that he that descended also ascended up above all heavens? So Jesus Christ, having died back there, went down into the heart of the earth and then came up and rose from the dead. So he taught them that they must also be faithful unto death. Notice in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16, the context is the same where he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven and so forth. And the context is the gospel of the kingdom. The context is that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now notice in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life will lose his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, they could save their lives. It's a tribulation passage for all purposes. You see, because the parenthesis that I got in here was unknown to them at that time. In other words, when Jesus Christ is preaching to them back here, he's talking about a period of time out there called the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation and so forth. And an individual can save his physical life in the tribulation by taking the mark of the beast. So whosoever would save his life physically would lose his own soul, is the idea. In Matthew 24, verse 25, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is obvious then that he's telling them that repented and were baptized for remission of sins, you must endure unto the end. You must be faithful unto death. And if you're faithful unto death, if you die a martyr's death, then you'll go down as I did. In other words, if they died a martyr's death, they too would go down into the heart of the earth, and then they would be resurrected to go into the kingdom. Notice in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, notice in verse 10. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, the same shall not be hurt of the second death. Well, the overcomer of verse 11 is the individual that's faithful unto death in verse 10. The man that lost his life for Jesus' sake would be resurrected. He'd be resurrected unto eternal life. Turn, please, to chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And notice in verse 10. The context has to do with the time when Satan is kicked out of the heavens and comes down to earth. It'll be in the middle of the tribulation. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, they give up their lives for Christ's sake. They will not deny the Lord. They are threatened. The Antichrist will tell them, I'll have your heads cut off unless you deny the Lord, and they won't deny the Lord. He would tell them, unless you deny the Lord, we'll burn you at the stake. And they'll say, burn me. I'd rather die of burning at the stake than to deny my Lord. They love not their lives unto the death. Notice what happened to those that die for him. Go to chapter 5. Revelation chapter 6. And notice verse 9. Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost not thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled, on and on and on. In other words, then, when they died a martyr's death, they go down into the heart of the earth. But look in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Revelation 1, 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. In other words, then, those people back there in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth, that were faithful unto death, believed that if they died for Christ's sake, they would go down to a place in the heart of this earth and then be resurrected unto life, resurrected to go into the kingdom. He had the keys to hell and death. Jesus Christ died as in a martyr's death and went down there and then came up. Therefore, they believed. If they died the same way that he did, he said, if you will follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me in a martyr's death. Follow me in laying down your lives. Follow me in giving up your life. Do you realize that a witness back there is a martyr? You should be witnesses unto me. Why, Jesus Christ told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you should be witnesses unto me. The word witness is the word that we use for martyr. You should be martyrs unto me. Tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Notice John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why, no such power was given unto you. Why, we that believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, according to Galatians chapter 3. But these people were given the power to become sons of God by resurrection from the dead. Do you not believe your Bible? They died martyrs' death. They went down into the heart of the earth, and they will be resurrected to go into the kingdom. Resurrected unto eternal life. Those things are absolutely clear. So that church back there is strictly Jewish. Later on, some Gentiles, as in Cornelius, was added to that same church. But the church, which is the body of Christ, is made up of people that believe in another's death. You see, we that are in here, we that are in this dispensation called the dispensation of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for of necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing, preach the gospel, do this thing, context, preaching the gospel, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Well, then Paul was given a dispensation of the gospel. That is, from the time that Christ appeared unto him, he knew the gospel. He knew the good news. Now, take Romans chapter 1 in one hand and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in one hand. Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's compare what we've been talking about. These people back here repented and were baptized for remission of sins. Those that repented and were baptized had to endure unto the end. Those that repented and were baptized could lose their salvation if they denied the Lord, as in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 3, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. Check them out. They had to endure unto the end. That is, they had to endure unto the point of death, without dying the Lord, without blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And if they endured unto the end, they would die martyr's death, go down in the heart of the earth, but Jesus has the keys to hell and death, and so they had no fear. They would be resurrected unto eternal life. But not so with you. We look back to Calvary and realize that a man called Jesus, the Son of God, the virgin-born Son of God, died for us at Calvary. We believe on him and trust what he did for our salvation. He performed all the work. He did the dying. We believe on him, and by trusting him as our Savior, his death at Calvary is put to our account. Romans chapter 1, look in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, what is that gospel? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. There is no way you could miss that. Either Paul is an egomaniac, or else the gospel committed unto him is different from that was committed unto Peter. He refers to the gospel which I preached unto you. But notice something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see that there were some people at Corinth that had access to this epistle that were in Peter's ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they're vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, and on and on and on. Well, then there were people there that believed Cephas, the Apostle Peter. No doubt they had repented of their sins and been baptized for remission of sins. But Paul says in chapter 15, remember the gospel that I preached unto you. whereby you are saved. I notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and in that case one of them might be Peter, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. I've begotten you through what gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, please. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Verse 2, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. You couldn't miss that. So what is the gospel that we believe in? Where will we find it? Well, we don't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't find it in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Where do we find it? We find it in Romans through Philemon. What is it? That Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God Almighty will receive you. God will save you and keep you saved, and someday change your vile body, make it like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the truth is easy if you rightly divide it. Otherwise, the whole Bible is confusion. I thank you for watching today. Until next time, good day.